Hello, and welcome to another fascinating issue of Charlie Cook's Insider Circle Monthly audio programs, jam-packed with the most realistic, practical, and up-to-date money-making secrets. Your host is Charlie Cook. Charlie has been helping business owners attract more clients and maximize their profits for over two decades. And while most people were still trying to figure out how to use the web, Charlie sold his second website for just under $1 million. Today, Charlie is one of the most sought-after business mentors on the web and a best-selling author recommended by some of the top marketing and sales experts of all time, including Brian Tracy, Tom Hopkins, J. Conrad Levinson. To get the maximum benefit out of this month's program, ask yourself these questions during the interview. How can I apply these ideas to my business and to my life? How can I do things differently and get better results? What actions can I take today, this week, and this month to reach my goals? And you'll want to listen to the interview more than once. Every time you do, you'll discover new ideas, new strategies, and new ways to sell more of your products and services, make more money, and be more successful. For most people, making money online with their website is just a pipe dream. They've heard that it's possible to get rich with a website, but haven't figured out how to do it themselves. On this CD, Charlie interviews Yannick Silver, one of the most recognized experts on creating money-making websites and a self-made millionaire. Yannick has been online since February 2000. He's the author and publisher of several best-selling online marketing tools, including Instant Sales Letters, Instant Internet Profits, Million Dollar Emails, and Autoresponder Magic. Yannick is a highly sought-after speaker, and attendees regularly pay $5,000 per person to get his insights. While he still considers himself a techno dunce, starting from his one-bedroom apartment, he has personally sold over $13 million of his info products online with zero employees, except for his wife. A self-described adventure junkie, Yannick enjoys bungee jumping, skydiving, and exotic cars. He lives in what he calls the ultimate lifestyle. You be the judge. In the next few minutes, you'll discover how Yannick built up his $3 million a year company selling information products online and how you can do the same.
Hello, this is Charlie Cook. For most people, the internet is like a big fat tease. You've heard that it's possible to get rich online with one or more websites, but no matter how hard you try, you find yourself still struggling and haven't hit the $100,000 sales mark, much less the $1 million mark. Today, I have the pleasure of talking with Yannick Silver, who woke up one night with a simple idea for an information product he thought he could sell online and has since catapulted him into the top ranks of internet marketers. Yannick, welcome to the call.
Thanks, Charlie. Thanks for having me.
Yannick, thanks for joining us today. Can you start by telling us a little bit about your background? What you were doing before you launched your first website and information product?
Yeah, I actually was working for my dad, selling medical equipment. We had a medical equipment sales and service company, and actually I got started really early on. When I was 14, he had me telemarketing for latex gloves, and I was 16. My family's from Russia, so my dad has a thick Russian accent. So when I was 16, my dad's like, Mr. Yannick, go make some sales. And so I had my driver's license, and he pushed me out the door to go talk to docs. And it was actually a doctor client of mine who gave me a J. Abraham tape and kind of turned on the lights about, hey, wow, this is really interesting that I could use direct marketing and contact doctors without actually having to see them face-to-face and knock on the doors and so forth. And so I just kind of got enthralled by that whole thing and just started studying that and learning as much as I could about that process. And started using it in my dad's business and seeing some really great results with the letters we were writing, and actually did some freelance consulting for different doctors. This was 98, and then by 99, I still didn't even have an email address. And I started paying more and more attention to the internet, thinking, well, you know, there might be something to this thing. And literally, like you said, I woke up one night, I literally woke up at 3 a.m., in the morning, and tap my fiance, my wife now, on the shoulder. I'm like, Miss, wake up. I got this great idea for a website. She's like, oh, God, please, just go back to bed. And you know, like so many entrepreneurs, we got tons of ideas, and but instead of going to bed, I actually got up, took action, registered this domain name, and the ideas were for these little simple sales letter templates that that would work for any sort of business to get them more sales. And I really believe in the power of questions. And before that point, I had been pondering this question about how can I create a fully automatic website that makes me money while I sleep and is an incredible value to people and can't just be an e-book. So I wanted something different, even at that time when e-books weren't so prolific as they are now. And that was the idea I had, and called Instant Sales Letters.
Or a lot of people's dream is to find a way to make money while they sleep, while they're on vacation. It automatically fills their, you know, and there are all these sites out there, automatically fill your bank account, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And you hear all the hype. As you were ready to launch this idea, as you came up with the idea, what was your internet experience? What expertise did you have?
Pretty much zero.
Okay.
I call myself an internet dunce, and of course, you know, that was about 9 years ago, so I've picked up a handful of things since then. But truly, I still cannot, to this day, and it's not shtick or made up or anything like that, I truly cannot put up my own website, if even if you had a gun to my head. So it's, I think so many people get caught up in the notion that they have to have the technical skill sets or they have to have something else, and it's not true. I mean, there's so many people out there. Like I had a webmaster that did all the technical stuff for me, and I simply did the marketing and wrote the sales copy, because that's what I'd been good at and been learning that since I was 18 from studying direct response marketing. And so you don't need that part. You can find someone on Craigslist, on rentacoder.com, on Elance, you know, a lot of different places. That's a $50 an hour job, and you need to be the person with the idea and the marketing smarts behind it.
So let me just ask you, when you had no knowledge really how to, you know, do stuff on the internet, but you had this idea for a product that was hopefully
right,
going to make you some money, what did your friends think when you shared your idea with them?
I tried not to share it with them. Because for the most part, no one would, nobody gets it, and they'd all think I was stupid and silly, and that it would never work. And it's funny though how those same people, now that the economy's gotten a little weird, are asking me out to lunch all the time, and you know, just they, because they've seen, like I said, it's been 9 years ago, and actually, so that site kind of, it started off in a small way, a little small beginning, made $1,800 the first month and $3,400 the next month. And then by the fourth month, I was on track to do about, I think, $8,000 or $9,000, and on track to do six figures that year. But I haven't touched that thing in like 6 or 7 years, and still does a nice six figures every single year. So I think my friends are kind of just watching and sitting back and being like, oh, that thing's going to explode any time now. And it's you know, paid for a pretty nice house in probably the most affluent area in around the suburbs of D.C. And so it hasn't exploded.
So I think a lot of people's concern, though, you know, about launching something on the web is one, is it going to cost them a lot to get their site up and running?
Yeah.
And what was your experience there?
You can certainly pay a whole lot of money if you don't know what you're looking for, and it's pretty easy to get, I was going to say swindled, but that's probably too strong of a word, to get seduced by a webmaster who promises you all sorts of things, but really doesn't understand marketing and doesn't understand how to sell. But they understand how to make a site look good, but they don't make it actually functionally work for what we need. I mean, my sites are so bare bones basic, Charlie. It's almost laughable. So many of them are literally just one long scrolling page, and it's nothing more than a sales letter. And it's because that sales letter keeps working over and over again, 24/7 for me, being. Be the perfect salesperson, no matter if 5 people hit the site or 500,000 people hit the site. And so to get started with the dollar amount is, you know, I started for $1,800, and knowing what I know now, actually knowing what I know 5 years ago, we could easily got started for $100, $200. It's interesting. I ask this question a lot because I teach young entrepreneurs about business, and that's definitely one of those kind of excuses or just obstacles that they have. So we've gone around the room with this high-level group of entrepreneurs that we teach together with, and I always love asking them how much do they get started with, and my favorite answer so far has been $5, and the guy's built up a seven-figure business with this $5 initial investment, and so you definitely don't need that much money. I mean, if you can't build your own site, you're going to have to pay for it or barter it or something, but it's not that much to do a very basic, simple site that doesn't have a lot of bells and whistles, but it's designed to sell, and I'm sure we'll talk about that later on probably too.
Clearly, you know, money shouldn't be an obstacle to launching a successful website. The next issue that I think a lot of people have, they go, is, well, you know, what would I create the site about? How would I make money with the site? And so maybe you can just give a little insight to us in terms of, you know, what was the thinking behind your creation of the Instant Sales Letter site, and you know, how did you come up with that, and what would your advice be to other people who are trying to come up with sites that hopefully can be successful?
Sure. You know, for me, I'm sort of biased. I love information. I think it's one of the best things out there that you can sell, and you know, you literally have huge demand working for you. You got residual income. You do the work one time, get paid over and over again. It doesn't cost much. You don't have to have employees. I'm actually this year finally going to be hiring some actual employees, but for the last 9 years we've run a multi-million dollar business with my wife as my one employee, and she hasn't been working too much lately, so we have two little kids under four, and then a couple virtual assistants. So for me, I love information, and so many people either don't realize or don't think they have anything of value that they could sell, and people would want to know about it. So information is in all shapes and different categories of everything from how-to information to financial information to fitness. I mean, I have people that I've worked with. I always ask people, there's two ways to think about it. There's either go externally, so figure out the marketplace first and be completely agnostic and don't, you know, not have the passion or be that excited about it, but you realize that there's a marketplace for it. So like golf instruction, you know, we all know that golfers are pretty rabid and crazy and will buy just about anything that can help them increase their game.
I take you play golf?
I don't play golf. I'm a very crappy golf player. I play like once or twice a summer. But my I know some golfers and they're pretty rabid, and they'll buy the lessons and videos and gizmos and all sorts of stuff. I mean, I have a friend of mine who sold a info product about how to do yoga specifically for golfers to stretch out your back and so forth, and that was supposed to help increase their drive. So they'll pretty much buy anything. And so, you know, you can start that way, start external and think about marketplaces that you know spend money. And or you can start internally and think about, you know, where's my interest, what's my passion, what's hobbies, what's stuff that gets me really excited, or what do people come up and ask me about all the time, or what's where my interests lie. And so many people don't think that they're an expert, but they don't have to be a world-class expert in order to sell information on something. Sometimes they could even simply be a publisher or a reporter. I mean, they could be, you know, let's say they've identified that or they're excited about dogs or dog training. They could literally interview a couple of veterinarians and a couple of dog trainers, and they could have a product right then and there. I mean, I have students in all sorts of weird niches, from salsa dancing to potty training, guitar lessons. I've one kid in particular I really love. He dropped out of school. His mom thought that he was selling drugs because he was making so much money, and he took this little micro niche of taking an engine. He taught people how to take an engine out of a Honda Accord and put it into a Honda Civic because it has the same, I don't know, the same setup, and I guess the engines are interchangeable. But you know, sticking a Accord engine in there. It makes the Civic go faster. So he was doing six figures out of his college dorm room after what I helped him with and taught him. So it's almost like the sky's the limit, and figuring out that idea is not really so much of an issue. It's just keeping your eyes open and either thinking about externally what is selling, or internally what am I excited about.
So let's go from the idea to how it turns into money. You mentioned how the progression of your sales from the instant sales letter. I don't know if you mentioned that it was only a $29 product. So one thinks about a $29 sale bringing in $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 a month. That's a lot of individual sales, and the assumption is that everybody goes to your sales page. Well, it'd be nice if everybody bought. Not everybody's gonna buy. So it must mean that you managed to figure out how to get and are getting a lot of traffic to your individual websites. And how do you do that?
There's definitely a couple ways, and you mentioned $29. It actually increased to $39 at some point, maybe 6 months or a year after I got started. But it's still a lot of individual sales, and there's probably hundreds and hundreds of ways of driving traffic to your website. But I like keeping things pretty simple, and for me, there's either buying traffic, there's borrowing traffic, or creating traffic, and I think everything falls into those three categories. And when you're first starting out, you got to buy traffic. You got to pay to figure out, do you have a good sales system? Do you have a site that's actually going to convert and get people to give you money and pay for your product? Because if not, the rest of what we're going to talk about is kind of meaningless, because you're just going to be spinning your wheels. So I always start with the pay-per-click search engines, because they're the fastest, easiest ways of driving traffic to your site. And Google is the big 400, 800-pound gorilla in that marketplace. And literally within 15 minutes, you could be driving some traffic over to your website by purchasing keyword phrases or keywords from Google. So let's break this down to maybe a more concrete example. Let's take, one of my students, the guitar lessons guy, and I don't play guitar. I actually don't know much about guitars whatsoever. I once took a natural gift test, and it told me I have a music tonality differentiation of about 5%. that's not a natural skill of mine. But regardless, so let's say we want to sell guitar lessons online, and so we've created our site. We've written our sales letter. We have a product together that we're going to be selling. Go to Google.com/ads, and actually they got a pretty decent tutorial there that will walk people through it. But one of the big mistakes is you don't want to bid on really generic keywords, because it'll cost you a lot, and it's not people actively searching for what you want. So if we bid on guitar, thinking that everyone who's looking for guitars might be interested in our lessons, we're going to spend a lot of money. But you want really specific keywords, and guitar lessons may be it, or it might even be like, I don't know, what's a guitar brand? Gibson. It's a Gibson guitar lesson or something like that. That would probably convert and work even better. So our first step is to figure out, driving some traffic, measuring it, and seeing, okay, what happens? Are people buying, or are they not buying? And like you mentioned before, Charlie, we get everyone that's coming to our site, they're not going to buy. But we want to figure out, is it 1%? Is it 2%? Is it, is it 0.00001%? And figure out what those numbers look like. And it's not about the percentages, it's about the dollar amounts. So we want to know, are we spending $50 and losing money in that process? Or are we spending $50 and we're making $75 in that process? And so figuring that out. So that's one of our first steps. And then of course, you can expand the pay-per-click advertising and buying that with other search engines. From the other two big ones are Microsoft and Yahoo Search. And then there's a bunch of other smaller ones. And And then you could also be buying ads on Facebook is another good one. And that's actually a really interesting animal because instead of buying keyword phrases there, you can buy demographic data. So if I knew, people put in their interests and what their favorite movies are, all sorts of things. So I could be buying everyone who is a male between ages of 25 to 35 and who lists guitar as a hobby. So it's pretty interesting. Your ad will show up there. But so that's on the buying side, and there's lots of other places you could be buying advertising, and the places that I recommend are very keeping it simple. So we'll buy easy advertisements. So there's certain newsletters that will sell advertisements in their monthly or weekly email newsletters. That's a good place to start. There's sites that'll sell you text ads on their site. There's some sites that'll sell you banner ads on their sites. And if you can make that work, you know, one of the best parts of that is now you know and you got a proven system of I can spend X amount and I know I'm going to get X plus Y back. You can keep expanding that. Now, the second way that we talked about for traffic is borrowing traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And for borrowing traffic, that's probably been one of my biggest sources of traffic, and that's getting other people to promote our stuff as an affiliate. And what's really exciting about that is we have about 50,000 affiliates who are marketing our programs now. Of course, only a small percentage of them are actually actively engaged in marketing it. But you don't need very many to drive some big numbers. When Dan Kennedy first started his newsletter and started selling it online, I was running their affiliate program, and we had literally an affiliate base of about 150 affiliates, and that was responsible for about $4 million in sales. So you don't necessarily need thousands and thousands of affiliates. And let me just step back and clarify what that is. It's, if you think about it, it's almost like a salesperson online for the most part. And so let's say I have a blog that has to do with guitars and Charlie, I'm going to stick your banner or maybe I'm going to have a text link or something that goes to your how to play guitar site. And now anyone I send over there is tracked back to me, and if they make a sale, you pay me something. Usually it's a percentage of the sale. So as the merchant, as the people that are having affiliates promote for them, it's a great, you know, it's pretty much nonstop traffic. I mean, I literally couldn't turn the traffic off to our sites unless we pulled the plugs on the site, because we have so many people out there that have links on their sites and in different places and all sorts of things going on that drive traffic. And if a visitor from their site or from an email that they send out comes to our site and actually purchases, then we pay them. So it's really a no lose proposition for me.
Borrowing definitely is a great way, and particularly my experience is there's certain, as you say, certain affiliates who've got the biggest list or greatest amount of traffic that are going
right.
to bring in the greatest amount of money. And the third strategy you mentioned?
Creating traffic. I'll just go back to the borrowing part for affiliate just real fast. The way that I got started with that is, well, you need piece of software that'll keep track of your affiliates. So there's companies that sell all-in-one software that does a lot of other stuff, like One Shopping Cart or Infusionsoft, or there's just very specific affiliate software. And I mean, if you want to get really, really, really basic, and I have a lot of people that use ClickBank.com, C-L-I-C-K, bank.com, and I mean, I think you pay about $50, and then they take care of all the hassles of sending affiliates the checks and keeping track of all that, and you get the benefit of about 100,000 some affiliates that probably more by now who are actively engaged in looking for other products to promote. So that's one good possibility. And when I first started getting interested in building up my affiliate program, I literally went to the search engines, typed in the keyword sales letters, and saw who came up first. And the people that had the top 10 ranking, I knew that they were getting traffic already, the traffic that I wanted. And so instead of me trying to figure out the search engine game, which is another way of getting free traffic, and you know that's our third way of creating traffic, But so instead of me figuring that out and having the algorithm change on me, I just approached those people and got some of them to start promoting our products that way. So that's one way that you could do that. Now the third way that we've been talking about a little bit is the creating traffic, and so that comes from things like viral videos or refer a friend type things, or creating, you know, writing articles and having them go out in different email newsletters, and then you get a resource box at the bottom, so you're doing things that create traffic. You're not buying it, you're not borrowing it, but you're creating it. And you know, same with free search engine optimization, so you can spend a lot of time and a lot of I know from some of your past experience, you've dealt a lot with search engine stuff. And you know, for me, it was always, I always looked at it almost like a quicksand kind of thing, that I'm going to figure it out, and then the next week they're going to change the rules on me. So
not where you necessarily want to spend your time.
Well, that was just for me. I mean, I have plenty of friends that have gotten really great at it, and they keep on top of it, and they're really smart about having different keyword-weighted pages. So then almost like when the search engines turn up one part of the formula, they're always in there, and they always end up in the top 10. And I don't know. For me, it just seemed like that you're always on a treadmill, and you're not really building on a solid foundation.
Mm-hmm. So buying, borrowing, and creating traffic are the three ways to bring in traffic. And you said that, you know, fortunately for you, borrowing has worked out probably the best.
Exactly.
Now, you mentioned, you know, with pay-per-click, and I think that's a good way to start, is that the goal is to make money, to be making more than you're spending on your pay-per-click ads.
Obviously. Ideally.
And it, you know, you're saying it's not necessarily about the dollar amount of the, or it's not about the conversion rate, but it's whether you're bringing in a profit. And my experience is that, you know, the more expensive the product, then probably, you know, the harder it is to convert people. But in any case, to be successful, it seems like one of the keys is you have to have a killer sales letter for your site, for your product. So given that, what's the secret to writing copy for the web that makes your site sell so successfully?
Well, do we have a couple days? we can definitely touch on it. It's certainly a process that people have to study and figure out. I've always tried to break things down into formulas, and so you don't necessarily have to be a world-class copywriter in so many of the marketplaces that people are going to get into. And where they're going to play, but you do need a good, solid understanding of what makes good copy. And for me, it's really more about psychology than anything else. One of my favorite books out there is a professor at ASU called Influence of Psychology and Persuasion by Robert Cialdini. I don't know if you've ever read that one or not.
I have not, but I noticed when I was looking at your background that it was one of your favorites.
Yeah, it's I'm surprised. I think you'd really enjoy it. So I've read that about 9 times, and for me, it's about getting the psychology right, more so about getting every single word absolutely correct, because you know there truly is a whole science, and then of course an art around copywriting, and the people that get incredibly good at it can tell you, well, we changed one word in this headline, and this had a 22% bump in our conversion. And it's pretty amazing when you break it down that scientifically. And there's a couple key components to your site. There's what your big idea, what your thrust is, what your offer is. So what am I paying for, and what am I getting? And the more enticing and exciting we can make that, the better. And then the other really key parts of your site are your headline, for sure. I mean, literally, so let's take from a pay-per-click search engine standpoint, we're bidding on the word guitar lessons, and so we have our little, it's almost like a classified ad running in Google, and people click on it, and they come hit our site. Well, if they hit our site, and it's really boring about, you know, let me teach you how to play guitar or something like that, that's okay. At least that's semi-benefit oriented. You probably won't do as well as having a much more benefit oriented or even curiosity with a benefit oriented headline. So it's, you know, here's how to be the next rock and roll god and really thrash your axe or whatever. I'm, you know, not a guitar guy, so I'm totally making this up. But if that was what your target market was more interested in, then you're going to see a whole lot more excitement and a lot more people get into your website, because literally you have a split second. They're going to read your headline. I've seen different headlines have 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 times a difference in response by putting different either benefits up there, different thrusts, and so it's an incredibly integral, important part of your site there. And then it gets into, you know, what's next, and you want to think about your site's copy as a sequential process where you're leading them down a very slippery slope where it starts at the headline and it gets them intrigued and excited enough and that they stop and pay attention, stops them dead in their tracks and says, yeah, okay, this is for me. I want to learn about how to play guitar and so the whole, from the first sentence all the way down to the bottom where we're asking for them to give us our credit card, think of it as a slippery slope, and you get people all the way down to the bottom. And there's a very famous formula called AIDA, which is attention, which is your headline, and then interest, desire, and action. And that's a pretty simplified version of how to write good copy, but it all starts with attention. And then you got to build up their interest and increase their desire. So a way of doing that is by having pretty incredible bonuses that they get if they purchase within a certain amount of time. And then you got to build up your action component. Or another really simple formula. Like I said, I like breaking stuff down to formulas. So another simple component formula is having a problem, and then kind of building up the problem, agitating it, and then providing a solution or giving them a headache and providing them with the aspirin. So a real good, simple example of that is one of the sites that we have out there. It's one of, I don't know how many sites I have, but this is one in the artist world, and I'm not an artist by any stretch. It was actually just a sample project to show people that you can start with literally no list, no connections, no expertise, and you could be making money. And it's at figuredrawingsecrets.com, and it's a great headline about the problem of learning how to draw people without having a model available and so forth. And then it talks about how if you don't know figure drawing, which is the study of drawing people, that all your artwork comes out mushy soft, and it's a dead giveaway that you haven't figured this out. And then the solution is this book that I had republished called, we called it Figure Drawing Secrets, but it's called something else originally, Anatomy and Drawing.
So it's back, there's a model, which I always tell people, which is lead with the problem, then present the solution, and then, of course, include your call to action. And that sort of sounds similar model you're using there in your copy.
It's definitely one of the formulas that I use, and there's a whole lot more, but for simplicity's sake and for getting people a very good proven model that they could go out literally tomorrow and use, it's a great one.
Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, you know, we don't have 2 days to spend on the phone here, and I'm not sure even if we did, we could get somebody to listen to a two-day audio, though that's an interesting product idea. But what are your suggestions for people who want to get more into learning the fundamentals and the psychology of writing copy that sells? I mean, you mentioned the book by Robert Caldini.
Yeah.
Do you have any other recommendations of resources?
Yeah, absolutely. I think people got to take, they got to learn a foundation for direct response marketing first.
Mm-hmm.
So many people learn internet marketing from people that are almost like it's been a bastardized version of telephone. where somebody taught them a principle and then they got taught a different way and then it gets, you know, subverted into something else. So I like going back to the source. So I'll literally read advertising books from the turn of the century and people that had no internet, no fax, no email, no 800 number. So it was difficult for them to get a response from people. And if they could make it work, I think it's easier today than with the instant gratification that we have of the internet. So I'll read people like John Caples, David Ogilvy, Maxwell Sackheim, Claude Hopkins. You know, going back to the real fundamentals. And so those are all great ones to learn from. Learning copy, I learned a lot from Dan Kennedy and Gary Halbert and Ted Nicholas. And I even have a really thorough course that I did all about copywriting, which was a 3-day workshop all about internet online copywriting. And for many people, that's probably going to be way too advanced. But literally getting some of those $10 books that are available on Amazon from the people that understood direct response and mail order will give you a priceless education.
Mm-hmm. That's good advice.
Oh, Joe Sugarman's a great one too.
Oh yeah, he's one of my longtime favorites. You didn't mention, but I know, you know, you have mentioned in some of the articles and whatnot you have out there, is the importance of getting people to give you their contact information. For example, let's say they come to one of your sites and they are not smart enough to buy right away. One of my goals is always to make sure they don't lose them. I hopefully at least get their contact information so I can try to follow up with them. How do you go about that?
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Charlie. It's such a simple mistake that I see so many people making is that their site has no real thrust to capture name or email or anything like that, because if they come to the site, the chances are that the large majority of them are not gonna end up buying and not gonna end up doing what we want them to do. So they're lost forever. I mean, who really bookmarks sites anymore unless they're an incredible resource? And then, at the same time, who comes back to those bookmarks? So we definitely have some sort of incentive or reason for people to give us their name and email. And so sometimes it's right in the sales letter. Sometimes there'll be in technical terms, and like I said, I'm a techno dunce, but I've learned a handful of terms to make me sound semi-dangerous, but this is called a DHTML layer, and so it looks like a post-it note or just goes over top of your website, or, you know, it looks essentially like a pop-up, and that works really well. But you want to have some reason for people to give you their name and email address, so then we can follow up on them and have just automatic little email robots go to work for us via autoresponder and then periodic newsletters. And then, of course, the best way of driving traffic is once we got our own list is we can send out an email and say, hey, we got this new product on this and this. Go check it out. And you send them to the site. Or, I mean, there's so many things that you can do with the list that it makes it you simply start controlling your own destiny. And you can even start promoting other people's stuff if you don't have your own products to sell.
So building your list is a great thing to do.
It's imperative, yeah.
And using those drop-down sliders or the copy in your sales page is a good way to do it. Speaking of following up, I just wanted to follow up on one of the points you made, which was that you said one of the ways you got started was you approached the top sellers in your niche, as it were, and because you didn't want to have to figure out how to necessarily get to the top of the search engines, and they already had, so you wanted to, hopefully leverage the work that they'd done to do that. And I'm not sure, if things have changed since you first started doing that, but, one of the big questions, I think, for a lot of people who have a product is how do they get big-name affiliates, people who've got a decent-sized list, to even open the email that they've sent to them or get them to consider promoting a product that they have?
Yeah, it's a great question. And some of it comes from, I kind of liken it to a Chinese water torture treatment, where you're not going to always get the big names or the big fish initially, and you sort of work your way up stair step. So for instance, when I first got started, I took I think like the top 20 people that I found searching on their sales letters. And I simply reached out to them and I said, I have this product, Instant Sales Letters. It's, you know, I think a really great product. We're starting to get some really great feedback on it. Here is the password for it so you can check it out. That's one thing, is you give them a review copy. So don't be cheap there and say, well, they should be paying for that or whatever the case is. Some people will never promote anything unless they've actually personally checked it out, and some people will just promote whatever's the flavor of the month. But regardless, so giving them a review copy is one thing. And then, you know, from those 20 people, I probably had two or three originally. I said, okay, I'll try it. And then I just took their results that they got. I figured out, you know, what their clicks were, what their conversion was, and then I went back to the 17 or 18 that were left and, like, say, you know, this site did this. And you just keep going back and going back and just keeping them in the loop in a nice way. So you just are sort of you follow up, but not in an annoying way, but you just follow up in a way that they know that what the best affiliate partners are looking for. They're looking for a proven promotion. They don't want to be a guinea pig for you.
Mm-hmm.
So when they see results from other people, now they feel more comfortable knowing that it actually does work and does sell. I mean, they get hit up all the time to promote things, and so you got to either have a really deep relationship that you built over time with them, or over 8 or 9 shots at the bar, or there's got to be a proven track record that they can see other people that have done that, and they'll follow along.
And the one other way I think you haven't mentioned here is once you've got somebody who's you can demonstrate your conversion rates with, there's a good chance you can get them to refer you to one of their buddies who does the same, you know, thing and probably has a good list too.
Yeah, that's a great thing. Actually, I don't use that very often, but that I probably should. I typically rely on most affiliates and most people in the industry. It's sort of a tight-knit group, and they pay attention to what other people are doing. So if I see, you know, my buddy John mailing out a promotion for so-and-so, I'm like, huh, look at that. And then I'll ask him, how did that do? And then I might mail for that after I've checked it out.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely get that sort of snowball effect with affiliates for sure.
So you've been at this for, what, 8, 9, 10 years? Or
yeah, about 10 years.
What's the evolution of your business been like? I mean, you actually, a while ago, interviewed another internet entrepreneur who likes to work. He gets up at 5:30 in the morning and he quits about 7 at night. And just, you know, for you, what's been the evolution of your business, and how much time did you spend on it to start with versus what you're spending now?
Definitely more getting it going. I kind of liken it to a rocket ship that requires about 80-85% of its fuel to take off and break free. And then so many things are on autopilot. I still work, you know, a fair amount. I mean, it's interesting with 2 kids now here in the house, getting a lot less work done than I used to before. But we have so many things in place that are on autopilot or semi-autopilot that it's not that big a deal. But for me, I'm still spending time on new projects and things that excite me, and just started a whole brand new, pretty big business a year and a half ago, which takes some of my passions, which are extreme experiences and travel, and combines it into something I'm really excited about with Top Gun Entrepreneurs. So I'm still working, but not really working on, you know, like I said, I haven't touched that one initial site in like 6 or 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So getting something up, putting the systems in place, and then letting it run by itself, and then moving on to the next project is pretty much where I am now.
So that sounds like, I mean, one of the things that I think a lot of people are always like the sound of, and just want to point out, it seems to be the reality for you, is that you're working, hopefully, the hours of your choosing, not, you know, slaving away 24 hours a day or something like that.
Exactly, yeah. I'm definitely working when I want to, and I don't know, for a lot of entrepreneurs, I think work is kind of our default mode. And so for me, I have to have other stuff on the schedule, like, I don't know, running with the bulls or Baja racing or something crazy to get me out of my office and get me to compartmentalize my work. And then of course with the little kids, then it's even less time for work. So it's worked out pretty good.
So as we mentioned earlier on the call, the majority of people listening to this call are going to be either entrepreneurs or small business owners. And some of them might be interested in the notion of creating their own information product sites, and some might just want to find a way to bring in more business for their existing business. You know, given that, what's your one top business building suggestion for anyone who wants to find a way to make more with their with a website or with an existing website?
Well, I always like to break things down to the basics, and it's all about driving traffic to your site and then converting that traffic. So figuring out what happens when somebody hits our site and then figuring out how to get more people to that site. Really depends on what we're selling, and you can use information in actually a whole lot of ways besides simply selling it, and you use it as a great lead generation tool. So, you know, if we went from, let's say it's a service business, an attorney, accountant, financial planner, whatever the case is, it's very simple to create a lead generating front end, very simple landing page website that does nothing more than gets people's interested prospects' contact information. So in exchange for a report or a white paper or an audio or something like that. And so we're using information in just a different way. So it could be, seven mistakes that almost every entrepreneur makes when they make a new hire or something like that, if I'm an employment attorney. So, you know, right now I'm in the process of making a couple hires. And for me, I'd be like, wow, I'd be all over that. And so we can use something as simple as that to drive people to the website, and then have a very simple sales system behind it where there's emails, follow-ups, and you can start. Let's say 10 is when people are absolutely ready to buy whatever your product or service is. And so we can use our website to start sifting and sorting to get to 7, 8, 9, and 10s.
One last question relative to, you know, growing your business with your website. I know a lot of people over the last 12 months, we've been in a pretty, you know, unusual economy, you know, car sales and real estate falling through the floor and the banks failing and whatnot. Well, overall, internet sales have continued to grow. I know a number of people, though, who've seen their internet sales sort of drop off recently, and I was just wondering, has the current economic picture changed any of your ideas about how to make a site successful or where people should be focusing?
No, not at all. Actually, so many of my friends who are online are having their best year ever. And it's, I think this sort of climate definitely, it whittles away who's the strong marketing companies and who's the strong companies versus, who's just been kind of coasting along and not really delivering maybe incredible value or signifying that how they're delivering incredible value and so forth. I do think, and my thoughts on this have definitely solidified over the last year or two, and it's not necessarily about the economy, but just more so about where I see things going in general. I see that there'll almost be like two camps that end up out of everything, and there's the commodities and so many customers in the marketplace they're always sort of trying to drive down whatever your business is into a commodity where the only differentiation point is price, and we can't compete on price and make it a sustainable business model. And then there's the other businesses that deliver an exceptional experience and exceptional value and most of the times we'll charge a premium price for it. So that's the camp that I'd lean towards, and and think that if people spent some time thinking about how can I deliver exceptional value, then they're going to be well rewarded. I mean, one of the questions I always ask myself when I'm coming up with a new product or service, something in my planner that I look at all the time, it's a statement that says, I get rich by enriching others 10 times to 100 times what they pay me in return. And so flipping that into a question, I'm very big into questions, and so flipping that into a question is, how can I deliver 10 times to 100 times in value for whatever my product is? And so it gets you in a creative, opportunistic thinking mode of, well, you know, can we partner with somebody else and maybe we can get a discount for our customers for this, and, you know, can we add this as a bonus? Can we do this so it becomes an exceptional experience? And those are the kind of things that really create businesses that sustain and last. I mean, one of my favorite examples is Zappos. They're, you know, you would think that it's a commodity. They sell, for the most part, they start off with shoes, now they sell other things. But they did $1 billion last year. I had Tony Hsieh, who's the CEO, and Alfred Lin, who's COO. I know both of them. And Tony was our keynote speaker at my underground online seminar last year. And one of the things that we talked about, and it's just really, really simple, but they said it's all about managing expectations and then over-delivering on them. And it sounds you know, almost like, gosh, that's business 101, but so many people don't do that. And it's, you know, Tony was really talking about right, with Twitter right now and Facebooks and blogs and sites like Yelp and all these kind of social media sites, that businesses are or will become completely transparent. And so the ones that are delivering exceptional value and results are the ones that are going to prosper. So if you look at the Twitter stream going across talking about Zappos, you can go to search.twitter.com, and it's really interesting just to see what people talk about Zappos. And it's always about, wow, I just got my shoes next day, and they told me it'd be delivered, you know, in 3 or 4 days. So their expectations that they managed that the shoes would be delivered in 3 or 4 days, and most of the times they upgrade to next day shipping. And Zappos originally started out with offering free shipping both ways for shoes. And you know, those are the kind of things that get people talking. And you know, like I said, with the transparency of the internet, it's incredibly important.
So speaking of exceptional value, what are you up to? What are your latest projects and what's on the horizon, and what should people be thinking about if they want to, you know, tap into your expertise and knowledge?
Well, a good place to check out what I'm doing is actually my blog, where it's called internetlifestyle.com, and so I talk about fun financial freedom and personal independence, so anything from my silly adventures, you know, going on zero gravity or talking about business topics. So that's a good place to see. And then you know, so my newest projects have been about taking my passion, which is adventure and unique experiences, and combining that with business building and high level brainstorming, plus teaching young kids about entrepreneurship. And that's something called Maverick Business Adventures, and that's for business owners who are at $1 million plus level in their company. So that's pretty much where I've been.
And how much for, I mean, if there was a product or service that you have for the small business owner who's maybe in the $100,000, $200,000 range, what would that be? What would be the one product of yours that you would recommend most?
We have a couple that are really good, depending on if you want to get really detailed into info marketing or you want to get into copywriting. We have two big courses on both of those, and people can find those at surefiremarketing.com, or if they just want to get a little bit more into this philosophy of what I've been working with a lot, which is making more money, having more fun, and giving more back, they should check out maverickbusinessinsider.com.
Well, great. Well, that's very helpful, and I hope a lot of people take advantage of your sites. And it's been great talking with you, and I really appreciate your taking the time to have this interview with us.
Yeah, thanks, Charlie. It was fun.
Well, thanks very much.
Okay, talk to you soon. Bye-bye.